everyone to the Kinky Hair Culture Podcast, where we interview the people behind the chair and the people that make your natural hair products. I'm your host, Candace, and today we have a special guest. Please introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Marichelle J. Brown. I am a licensed barber in Cosmo, also an educator, entrepreneur, and barbershop and salon owner.
Okay. So I'd like to take it back and give a little history. What made you decide to go into barbering?
Okay, my story is kind of wild. So my father was a master barber for over 50 years. So I grew up inside the barbershop. At the early age of 10 months, he would take me to the barbershop with him, you know, and started off as, like I said, a child, went into like wiping down the chairs, sweeping. Mm-hmm. And when I started getting older and was able to get away from the barbershop, I ran, right? Because I really didn't want to be in the hair because I had grew up in it. So
yeah, that's what most people say. Most people are like, I don't want to repeat the same thing my parents did. I want to do something different.
Going back. right, exactly. So when I hit about 12 years old, I went into sports doing, you know, playing sports and playing music. And I ended up starting a rap group at the age of probably, I want to say about 15 years old. And we ended up becoming one of the first rap groups out of Sacramento, California, to record on record. And we did that for a little bit, made some cool little money off of it. You know, this was at the beginning of a rap. This is our first song came out I want to say it was like 1983 when it came out. So this was right around the time of Run DMC. So it was like in between Grandmaster.
Do you still got the music?
Oh, of course. Yeah. So I went into producing, right? And so I produced some of the groups that ended up going like gold and platinum. So some of the artists that I worked with were like Brother Lynch Hung out of Sacramento, Teresa King, who was signed with Jay King back in the day. So I had a chance to work with...
Okay.
Yeah. So I had a chance to work with some great Confunction. I actually... Felton Pilot was actually one of our engineers, and he was our producer when we were coming up. We were around the time of between the early 80s. So when we started, you know, doing music, we would go on tour with groups like Too Short and The Click, E-40 and The Click. So we performed with some of these guys, even the World Class Wrecking Crew, who Dr. Dre came from. So we performed with them for a little bit. So, yeah. So I had a chance to, like, get a little bit of the fame without necessarily
having fun. I know you had a lot of fun doing this. Wow.
Yeah, had a gang of fun doing it. Music is up and down. So mm-hmm. I had to make sure I had a side gig. So one year you can make a whole lot of money. The next year you what a sign talking about we'll work.
Please, cool. Yeah, work.
You know, it's like, so yeah. It was kind of crazy. So, I was a assistant computer operator, mm-hmm. and around the mid 80s, they started sending those jobs over to India, right? So I had to find another job. So what happened is they paid me, you know, they gave me some pay, and it was like, okay, so your job is ended. So I lived off of that money doing music, and I had a daughter around the same time and raising my daughter and things like that. And the money started running out, right? Yeah, after a while, you never think that the money's gonna run out. So I had to really kind of set myself into gear and start looking for another job. So I was looking for that assistant computer operator position, and those positions were gone. And my dad came to me and he said, hey, son, I've been telling you, go get your license and you'll always have something to fall back on. So what I did is, so I can please him, because I wasn't really interested in hair, I went and went to a couple of the schools to go check out and see what the Cosmo and Barber schools had to offer. And there was one school that had a program that you could do 3 days of you know, 8-hour days that you could see if you like it or not before you sign up. And I found out I loved hair, right? So
no, it was your calling. You
it was already my calling.
And not do it, but it was your calling.
Right. So what I did is I came back to my dad and I said, you know, thank you for reminding me, you know, that this is something. And the other thing was, you're right, it was my calling. What I was missing out on, I was thinking of being inside of a barbershop as a child, not as a man. And when I got a chance to hear all the information and what, remembering what my dad, how popular he was, he had three shops. He had one in San Francisco, one in Marin City, and one in Sacramento, California. And remembering how popular he was and how people would come everywhere we go, they knew Mr. Brown, right?
All right.
So having that, I decided to dive into it, right? And I talked to my dad and I told him, yeah, okay, I think I'm gonna go to school. And he, at this time, we're talking about the late 80s, early 90s, and the hairstyles back then were Jerry curls, right? California and Jerry curls. So he suggested that I go to school for cosmetology instead of barbering, and he would teach me
everything at one time.
Right, and he would teach me the short hair cutting with the clippers, right? So I did, and when I came out of school, I was making so much money because I was doing perms and I was doing Jerry curls and I was doing, you know, all of those things. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Let me ask you a question, okay?
Yes.
Because I interviewed somebody before you, and I basically was talking about men, okay? Uh-huh. Men in this world feel like they can't really do the hair. Like, they want to do the hair, like condition, shampoo, and I mean, they do the basics, like a 1, 2, 3, and go. But you know how women, we all into our hair. Do right. you feel like in society, the way the world portrays men, that they have to be masculine all the time?
So they can
show that, oh, I know how to do hair, take care of hair and stuff, because I don't see that many. I see a lot of people that does hair, but it's more of a like a limit when it should be abroad for men.
No, you're totally right. And so I'm here to trying to change that mind thought, right? So one of the things that we provide at one of my barbershops, me and my brother have a barbershop. Shout out to my brother, Rodney Brown. We have a barbershop called Heritage by M.
Yes. And
it's spelled H-A-I-R-I-T-A-G-E. So inside of our barbershop, we provide what we call a steam towel treatment. Mm-hmm. Well, the steam towel treatment is nothing but a facial. And what it's doing is getting guys used to making
they
know how to cleanse it. Yeah. Right. So we have the steps that will take place in doing a facial. And we add in, we have our own product line. So we have M exclusive product, which consists of a pre-shave oil.
Before you go into that, okay. Give me some just yet. You continue back into the cosmetology. You finished school.
So I finished school. I got into the shop. My dad had a barbershop. He changed. It was called Master Barbershop. He changed the name of the shop to Master Barber and Beauty Shop. So now we were a full service shop. I came in and I was killing it with the perms and Jerry curls until they went out of style. Right. So once they went out of style, I started picking up the clippers from everything that my dad, who was my mentor, had taught me, which was great because I didn't have to work as hard in building my clientele. So it really kind of set it.
Practicing that. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Because you already had a whole bunch of people that your daddy already cutting.
Right, now, right.
Question. So when you went your first day, let's say it's your first day and you go in there and you're with your dad and you're sitting down and say, okay, it's my turn to cut somebody's hair. Did all the clients look like, oh, he's not about to touch my hair.
I got a story for you. So I've been doing this for 35 plus years, right?
Uh-huh.
So I got a story for you. So the first haircut that I had, the client came in and my dad said, oh, go ahead and, you know, let my son do your hair, right? And he said, is it cool, Mr. Brown? He said, listen, if I say it's cool, right? So the guy sat down and he cut it, and I draped him and got him ready for the service and everything. And he said he wanted a Cavadas. This is one of the reasons why people should know what an individual is talking about. So I'm thinking in my head that I know what a Cavadas is. I'm thinking a Cavadas is a complete ball head. So I shaved his head. He got pissed off. He was totally, he cussed me out. I was like, am I going to have to fight this guy up in here, right? My dad calmed him down. He told me to go have lunch. He said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. That day, I was ready to walk. I was like, I don't want to do this no more. You know, I had lost all confidence in myself. I, you know, wasn't for sure of myself. And my dad said, no, don't worry about it. Tomorrow's a new day. So I...
A great support system, because most people will like freak out, and it's good that you had your dad and it wasn't like someone else, because someone else might have been like, no, okay, you know what, just go home and not consult you or anything, or they'll consult the client but not you,
but not me, right? And lucky enough, like, I had that support system.
You should know this. I said this story because most young people, we do go out there and we automatically think that we know exactly what certain things are called. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know how to do that. And you'd be like, no, you don't know what you're doing. That's not
right. Right. And you can't think it, right? You can't guess at it. You should know. And if you don't know, it's okay to ask, right? So I came back the next day, was cutting. About a month goes by. I see the guy at the doorway, right? And I said, oh, here comes that guy that I cut all his hair off, that he was totally pissed. He walks, I'm the fifth chair. He walks past the first chair, the second chair, the third chair, nobody's in it. He walks past the third chair, and I'm like, this dude is coming my way. So I turn, right? I'm like, I'm gonna avoid him with all costs, right? At all costs. And he comes up to me and he says, hey, you're going to do my hair, and this time you're going to do it right. Mm. And I was like, all right, okay. Yeah. I'm making all kind of excuses. I got somebody ahead of you. He said, that's all right, I'll wait. I haven't eaten lunch, man. Go get your lunch. I'll wait till you come back. I was like,
that's all right.
What the hell going on? Right. Okay.
He wants you to be successful. That's what it was.
He got in the chair, I cut his hair, he loved it. He you know, tipped me and everything. Until this day, he's still my customer.
Wow.
Yeah, 35 years later, 35 plus years later, he's still my customer. And he's a steady customer. He comes in every 2 weeks, so it hasn't missed a beat. But he makes sure to let everybody know the first time that I cut his hair.
They tell a story and everybody's sitting around. How many times do you tell the story?
Right. I'm like, okay.
Everybody learned their lesson. You got to know what such and such is called. I understand.
Yeah, and it's definitely a lesson, right? But that's definitely a lesson. Because of that, I made sure to make that I'm making that connection during the consultation. I'm asking those questions, right? And if I don't know what it is, because terminology differs from area to area, right? What may be called something in North Carolina might be something totally different in California, but it could be the same haircut.
Yes. So speaking of heritage, let's go into that. Okay. You said that it was you and your brother?
Yeah. Okay. So heritage, after my father passed in 98. And this is the time that it dawned on me that I had to really step up to the plate, right? Because somebody had to make sure that all the bills were paid, that, you know, the business was being ran. Before that, I had a chance to cut next to my dad for 10 years. So that was cool. But after he passed, because he would take care of all the bills and all the things that were going on, I'd just show up to work in the morning and get off in the evening, right? after he passed, somebody had to step up to the plate. My mom worked there. My brother, who is also a master barber, worked there. And it landed in my lap. So I stepped up to the plate. Then I had to know about business. So I started taking classes at the community college, right? Just to make sure that I knew what it was that I knew the walk, right? That I knew how to handle certain things in certain areas. So it made a difference, right? So in my father passed in 98. In 2011, I came up with an idea of putting together a book paying homage to my dad and my family that's into hair. And I decided to call this book Heritage. So I have a friend that's a photographer. I asked him if he could come into the shop, if he could sit up like a fly on the wall, take pictures, we get releases, and then we'll put the book together. I wasn't for sure exactly what it was that I wanted to build. I just know that I wanted to
build. You had a vision and you needed.
I had a vision and it wasn't all the way together. And my wife, she told me, she said, so I'm trying to figure out how do I put this together? I don't know how to build a book, right? I don't know how to go about doing this. And she reminded me of a book that came out in the 70s that was called Black. And this book, inside of the book, the Black Book, it was the Black Book. And inside of the Black Book, it had all different types of information about African-American heritage throughout time. And I liked the way that it was kind of put together. So I took that idea, but using hair and using the family, and we had like all different types of activities that we would do in the shop. So at our shop, we had a stage that was about 14 by 20 feet, right? So it can hold an 11-piece orchestra. We would have live music. We had events.
Okay, this is during like time of people getting a haircut, they listen to music.
They can listen to music, poetry. We would have comedy. Yeah, so this is about 2008, 2009. We would have live jazz bands come in. We would have R&B bands and things come in. And then even after the shop closed, we would have different types of events. It was a large shop. We called it the Big Shop, but it was called Master Barber and Beauty Shop. And during that time, I'm putting this book together. And as I'm putting the book, we also have art all over the walls, right? I connected with all of the artists. I'm a very in tune with the community and the arts community in the Sacramento and Bay Area, in California, in Los Angeles, Southern California as well. And I'm in tune with them. So I have a huge connection. So I would have artists come out and put their paintings and have somewhere for them to put paintings as a gallery. Mm-hmm. So while we were putting it up, the idea came and I said, well, we're taking these pictures. What if we blew up these pictures, right? Mm-hmm. Enlarged the pictures and hung the pictures as art. So it went from the idea of having the book, having it as a book, but also turn it into an exhibit. And because we had so many different musical artists coming through because of my connection with music, we put together a CD. So the book had, inside of the book was poetry, wow. Right? You have all of these different poems from different artists all up and down California, poets from up and down in California. You had a CD that was in the back of the book, all original music. And then you had all of these photographs of the different types of events that we would do, paying homage to my dad, talking about who he was, where he came from, how he became a barber.
I know your dad proud of you.
Yeah. So I named that Heritage. Thank you. I appreciate that. So here we are. So what happened is that shop ended up closing. The building went into foreclosure around 2014. This was crazy, right? We come in, there's a sign on the door that says you have 45 days to vacate. We're fighting. We're like, oh, can we buy the building? What's going on? And we didn't know that the guy was behind in his mortgage payments. Wow. So we had we figured out that we go ahead and close the shop. Just kind of tired of the moving and you know, this shop was perfect because we had the stage, because we were doing all different types of events. And we kind of disbanded the shop. Well, during that time, I decided to go into education. So this is my entry into education. So I put in for three different schools to be an instructor. I went in as a cosmetology instructor, and the first school that responded, I took the job, right? And I was working.
How was that feeling of like, I put in for three jobs and boom, I got one? Was you nervous?
I was kind of nervous because I had never did educate. I have, because we had apprentice, but it's different when you look.
Because you got to actually have like courses for the students.
Right. The difference was, is it took me back to the basics of hair. And I dove into it this time, right? Some of the things that I wasn't doing before, I wasn't doing color. I got a chance to really get in and understand what color was. I used to work for Paul Mitchell. And I would only work 15 hours a week. I didn't want to do any other too much more time because I just wanted to kind of build on the color part. And I thought being an instructor and having them pay me while I'm learning, right? And Paul Mitchell had a perfect a landscape for the educators to learn. Then what happened is while I was there, they found out that I was a barber. They knew that I was a barber. And they came to me and they said, we're starting barbering at Paul Mitchell. We would like for you to run the barbering program.
I know you're
I was like, okay, cool. But it was in the midst of them selling the school. So it took, you know, they was like, okay, we'll get to it. We're going to make it happen. So they said next month we should start, but that next month turned into 2 months. It turned into 3 months. But what I was doing anyway is I would visit schools, cosmetology schools, and I would do presentations on how to do clipper cuts, right? And then I would have classes later on. So this was perfect, right? So I ended up, Sacramento has two Paul Mitchells. I went to the other Paul Mitchell as a guest doing a demonstration. And then I'm having classes, and these classes I would charge like $150, and the students would come. And I know a lot of the cosmetologists, they want to know how to use clippers, so it was perfect, right? And right after I had finished my demonstration, I was getting ready to leave, and the dean of the school came to me, and she was like, hey, I need to talk to you, right? So I sat down and talked to her, and she said, we're starting a barber program. And so I'm finding out.
Here we go again.
Here we go again, right? So okay, but I told her no, because I was still expecting the other school, right, that I've already accepted the job. So about a couple of weeks went by, and then she called me again. She said, I really would like to meet you, meet back with you. And we set a date, a meeting date, and I went in to go meet with her. And she said, we really want you. We understand the reputation you have. We know who you are. We know who your family is. We would love to have you here. And I was like, okay, you know, that's cool, you know. And then she took a piece of paper and she slid the paper to me. And she said, this is what we're looking to pay. And so I picked up the paper, right? And I looked, unfolded it, and I looked. And inside, I was like, whoa, right? Because I wasn't expecting that. But I kept my cool, right? So, you know, I'm a little...
You can't show too much. I'm like, oh, that's what
I was like, you know? I said, that's cool. I said, let me tell you what. Let me go talk to my wife, right? Let me talk to the other school to see where they're at, because they did offer first. And I'll get back to you. Give me about 72 hours and I'll get back to you. So I went, I got in the car. I was like, oh, hell yeah. Right. Can I say that? Can I say hell yeah?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I was like, oh, hell yeah. Right. So I get in and I have the conversation and I'm like, okay, they're taking too long to come up with this program. I'm going to accept. But because they are continuously on me about me being an instructor at the school, I'm going to add more money to it. Right. So I called her up. She said she would love to talk. And I came back in and I added some more money. I said, well, I'll take the job if it's at this price. And she said, she looked, she was like, okay, well, let me talk to the owner and I'll get back to you. And I said, okay, great. You know, looking forward to working with you guys and seeing where we could take this program to. I get in the car. On my way home, I get the phone call and says, when can you start?
Oh, see, look, that's a lesson. Closed mouth do not get fed. If you're out there trying to, no matter what job you have, put your price out there. They might say no, but you tried. So
yeah. Wow. And if they say no, then you can see where they're coming in with their problem, right? You'll be able, then you can play that in between, right? You can negotiate what's in between.
That's
so true.
Right. That's all right. So after schooling, after teaching, what was next for you? What was your next journey?
So, let get back on to, right? Okay. I opened up a salon. It was called Marichal Salon Suites. Marichal Salon Barbershop and Suites. Mm-hmm. I opened that up. That ran for about 4 or 5 years. And I'm still teaching. I was still teaching during the time. And then the first school that I was at, I got a phone call. My brother was he had moved out of state and he had totally just separated away from hair. He wasn't doing hair at all. He was getting ready to move back. And they called and I was like, hey, I got a perfect person for you. Contact my brother. So they contact my brother and he went to the school that I started at. Mm-hmm. And then I got another call. And so this is about 3 years in, 3.5 years in of me being the barber director at Paul Mitchell. And I got an offer to come over and run the whole program, which was a bigger program. And I went and negotiated, accepted. And I did a couple of years there. Right now, what I'm doing is I'm doing consulting with several different schools, helping them build their program and build the curriculum on the things that they need, that I think and they think together, what may help the program grow. So that's what I'm doing.
Going back into the field of picking up the clippers and
I still cut. So
clippers down until you know what I'm hitting the floor.
Yeah, right. No.
I want to see what's going on.
At least once a week, I'm inside the shop. I still have a clientele. So on Saturdays, I get up Saturday morning, just like I'm going to work. Right, I get there 8 a.m. in the morning. I stay until about 4 or 5, because I have a clientele. I would say 95% of the people's hair I do are appointments only. So during that time, me and my brother opened up a two-man shop, our two-chair shop that was called Master Barber Hub. And there was this building that was open that I had been looking at for years, right? I mean, for a long time. And I seen a for lease sign on it. I was like, oh, wow. So I called the guy and he gave me an extremely low price for the prices of buildings around. And it's in a very popular, busy area in Sacramento on a main street.
Jackpot.
I hit the jackpot, right. So wasn't planning on opening anything at that time. I had just started the product. And I was like, I can't miss this, right? So I went in, put the down payment down, put the deposit down, and we held on to that from last February to till, I want to say July. And then in August, we did our grand opening, and I had all the barbers in there and everything. But that shop is the shop that's called Heritage. So we came back. Now, this is 11 years after having the book. And because of the popularity of not just the name, but what the book has brought, we decided to bring the Heritage exhibit back. And it was always a plan to have three different volumes of the Heritage book. So I'm working on
get an understanding of how everything started to now.
Right, right. So I'm working on volume two of Heritage, which now is inclusive of other shops and people in history throughout the United States. We're talking about, we're talking about Willie Morrow, who was a publisher in the 1960s, and he was also a barber, and he wrote a book called 400 Years Without a Comb. He's also the one that invented the Jerry Curl. He's also the one that brought to life the pick, the Afro pick. Mm-hmm. So we have those people that will be in the new volume of the book. So it'll be talking about these people as we speak. I'm still working on it. We don't have a date or anything right now.
I can't wait till that book comes out. you have hair products, you said.
I started off with during COVID. One of the things that I always was kind of, I stayed away from, want to make sure you face your fears, right? So I remember when my dad used to shave, and that was something that I was like really, really loved. I thought him shaving was amazing. So when I turned about 16, 17 years old, I went to the store, got everything together. I got me a razor. I got the shaving cream. I got everything that I knew that he had at his station.
I'm trying everything. I probably had cuts everywhere. I'm like, I'm just going to try. I got this.
Right. and that's what I thought, right? I'm like, I grew up in the barbershop. I can do this, right? And within the second stroke, I cut myself. Yeah. And so I ran from having razors at all, right? I don't know why I didn't go ask my dad, hey, Dad, how do I?
Because you want to show that, like, I got this. Dad, look, I know you got the barber, but look, let me try this on my own.
Let me try this on my own, right?
I'm young, experimenting. I got this.
Right. So about 20 years after doing hair, I want to say somewhere between 17 and 20 years after doing hair, I said, I'm going to learn how to shave, right? So I did learn how to shave. And that was one of the things that right now, that's probably one of my strongest points, right? Because I had to face that fear. I think that people, sometimes we run from the things that we may trip and fall from instead of facing.
The problem is nobody wants to be embarrassed. Nope, and then right. We have that feeling, and some that's experts in everything they do, like everything they touch, they just do good.
Right. Everything goes right. Right.
Everything goes right. Something goes wrong. They're like, wait a minute, that's not how it's supposed to be. And they go in a little dark space, like, oh my God, how did that happen? I'm not going to try that again because I don't want to be embarrassed.
Right.
So that's a lesson learned. Life, you're going to mess up on something. Don't nobody get it right all the time.
So during COVID hit and it set everybody down. And I kind of loved that portion of it because it gave me a chance to spend more time with my wife, right? Mm-hmm. To not be all over the place. We created gardens in the backyard, but
everything that you want to do, you're able to relax and say, you know what? I can breathe.
Right. But that energy in me of creating was still there. So what I did is I contacted a company and I started making a razor. And in making the razor, I ended up producing what is called the Marichelle razor. Mm-hmm. And I had never used Cash App or any of those apps or anything like that. So I ended up putting these razors up for sale. I ordered like 100 of them, right? And I put them up and I was like, hey, everybody, because everybody was on the internet, right? They was on the. And I was like, hey, everybody was on social media. So I put these razors up. I was like, hey, I'm selling these razors. And the support system went crazy. So I started, I'm sitting up and me and the wife are watching TV and I'm hearing cha-ching.
I know that's right.
Look, and I'm like, I didn't know what that was. I didn't know that sound, right? And I kept hearing cha-ching. And I said, did you hear that? And she was like, yeah. I said, that's crazy, right? And I sat there. And then I heard cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I said, wait, that's my phone. So I went and looked at my phone, and I had 15 orders within a span of 2.5 hours. And I was like, people are buying the razor, right? So it was like, whoa. So the reason I started with the product, I started with a shave gel. And I was like, okay, I got the razor. Now I need to have something, some type of product that goes with the razor. So I started with the shave gel. From the shave gel, I went to the pre-shave oil so they can have that extra protection inside the pre-shave oil. Some of the things that are beneficial in there is vitamin E in there. There's also aloe vera that's in there that really takes care of the skin. And then I did an aftershave balm. Right now we're working on a shampoo and conditioner, and then we're going to do a skin line. So all of that will be out sometime this year and next year that we're working for all this to come out. But yes, that's how the line started.
That's amazing. That's all right. Look, you got all of it, the conditioner, the shampoo, you have everything out. What is your next adventure?
The exhibit is up now, and everybody is like really loving it, right? So we have the pre-shave oil, mm-hmm. the shave gel, the aftershave balm. We're adding in shampoo and conditioner, mm-hmm. and then we're going to have also a skin line that we're going to add in later on. We're already using it in the shop, so we're just perfecting everything. Everything is organic, right? Because we want people to have the best of the best, right? So there's no parabens. It's gluten-free. All of the good things are...
We need. So you teach school, okay? While you teach at school, do you also give them a little business advice for those who graduate?
Of course. So what we do is we go to schools and we come in as guests. I don't do the teaching on the daily basis as much anymore. But what we do is, yeah. So one of the things that I bring to the programs is I've created what's called the barbershop tour. So what we're doing is we go inside and we take the students to different barber shops throughout town, right? And they get a chance to meet the owners of the barbershop. They get a chance to talk to the barbers that are behind the chair. They get to see what kind of equipment they use, the products they use, how they interact with clients. These things, I think, are very important because what it does, it can match a student up to a barbershop, but it also widen their horizon, right? So they may see something in a shop that they didn't even know existed. Some of these, you know, we sometimes...
service, everything, yes.
Right, exactly. So, you know, those are the things that we want to do. But also in teaching, we teach product knowledge, right? Because product knowledge, to know the benefits of the products that you're using. And we talked about this earlier, right? We talked about men taking care of themselves or not taking care of themselves. So they would trust their barber if their barber say, you need to use this type of shampoo because the shampoo that you're using isn't for your type of hair, yes. Right? You know, having those conversations and talking about the benefits of the ingredients that are inside of that product.
I'm glad you're talking about that and you said that because men in general will get some product, put in their hair and say, you know, oh, pick their wives or their girlfriends and say, I'm just going to try and put it in my hair. And they don't understand their hair, the texture of their hair, what their hair needs.
Right.
I'm not a man at all, but like, what I need all to know all this knowledge for. It washes your hair, shampoos your hair, conditions your hair. That's all I
need. Yeah. Listen. Guys will use bar soap to wash their hair, their face, their body. Right? It's like it's so it should work. Right. Not knowing that the hair is made up of different material than the face. So you don't want to use the same, our skin is a little bit different. It's a lot different on the body than it is on the face. Right. So you want to use something that's a little bit more gentle than you would, like the cleanser that you're using, that a person would use. So, yeah, those are very important things that I talk to the students about making sure. But also, we also talk to the students to make sure that they're up on their social media, right? Social media platforms are for free, right? You can connect.
All you gotta do is post, and that's it.
That's it, right? And we do talk about business. We talk about them getting their financial literacy in place. We also have connected with, and we work with, the Confess Project, which is that deals with mental illness, right? So they go through, and what happens is it teaches the barber behind the chair that not necessarily to give advice, but to be a resource and to give out the resource to clinicians that walk like, talk like, look like the people that are having some sort of mental health issue or crisis, right? So directing you to somebody that looks like you, talk like you, walk like you, right? That you can talk to about that if you're having depression, right? If you're having anxiety, these type of things, you'll be able to talk to a clinician and get yourself right. You know, a lot of Black men don't go to the doctor at all. Right? So besides the physical health, we need to make sure that we check our mental health and our spiritual health. And we try to make that connection with inside of our barbershop.
That's great, because you never know what anybody's going through. Okay. We always, if you see the person that smiles a lot and always happy, they always say check on them because something might be wrong. Not saying that it is all the time, but you never know. And in the world we live in, it's weak to show weakness. Even when you show weakness, it's like, and then the world has gotten a little bit better with it. But you still have it where people still make fun of you if you, that's weak. What are you doing? So it's great that you're able to connect your students with people, students or clients, everybody, with somebody that actually helps you on mental health. Like, look, I know that you on your feet, working your hands, cutting or styling, that you have the opportunity to sit back and say, look, I just need to breathe. It's okay. Can I breathe?
Right.
I'm glad that you'll be able to have that for the clients.
Yeah. You know, Black men are leading in suicides in this country. And that's a sad case, because we're so taught to be
tough,
right? Mm-hmm. Not to show our soft side, right? We got Black women too, right? Black women go through a whole lot, right? But we need to have these groups. And I think the barbershop is that community center that where we can all get together and we can help one another and be able to talk with one another. People sit down in my chair and they tell me things. I'll be like, I don't think I wanted to know that, right? But it's like, yeah, you could have kept that one to yourself.
And when they finish, after they tell you, but like, I didn't want to hear that, but
I didn't want to hear that.
Soon they finish, you can see the relief off of them. You'd be like, well, I'm glad I was here to help you.
Exactly.
I'm glad
exactly.
to help yeah. you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so those are
important. We help it.
Yeah, because, and I think a lot of it has to do with the sound of the clippers, right? That vibration, the relaxation that happens when someone's sitting in the chair. We're working with their crown, right? It's all up here. So to get that comfort, and then we add in like the steam towels, right? We do a complimentary steam towel, at least one.
Third pampering too.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Some of them don't want it, and we'll be like, okay, cool. Yeah, we understand, right? But, majority of the guys, they get one. Once they get it, it's they're asking for it all the time.
That's all right. That's all right. I am so glad you took the time out today. Just I know you got a busy schedule. I know you're probably teaching. So I do like, okay, I got this. So I appreciate you taking your time out. Is anything that you want to leave the audience? But also, audience, don't worry. At the end of this conversation, we're gonna have all the links, okay, about his book, on social media sites. So don't worry, we got you, okay? But is there anything that you have that you want to leave the audience? And I got one last thing for you too.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I'm working on. One of the things is to that I think I could talk about it. We're talking about working on a program that will help work with people that are on the spectrum, right? On how barbers should be able to deal with people when come because they have sensory issues, right? Kids with autism, and they need pampering as well, right? Not just kids, but also adults as well. So that's one of the things that, and I'm working with that with my wife. I'm still working on the volume two of Heritage, so that's going to be dope. I'll make sure that I'll let you know about it. I'll make sure that also I will get you some of the products so you can distribute it out to the men that are in your life. But also inside of that, I'll send some of the samples of the skin cleanser that we have for the face. So you'll get an example of a sample of what we're using inside
Thank
of our
you.
show.
Look, thank
And
you. I appreciate
right now we're pushing the, I'm really pushing the product. We're looking to open up our second Heritage barbershop soon, between now and next year. We're looking at locations right now. We're doing a lot of the barbershop, not barbershop, but barber expos. We're out there. I was nominated for Instructor of the Year for the CT Barber Expo. That's
say
held in
again. That's all right. Tell them again. I don't think they heard you the back. You number one. Number one
Yeah.
now.
So this is the second year. Last year I made it to the top five. This year I'm hoping that I'll be able to take home that prize, right, and share it with everybody that has gotten me here. And Candace, I just want to thank you for reaching out, and I look forward to making it out there to North Carolina so we can hook up and make some things.
Yes, you and your wife come down here and into the world of North Carolina. Yes. Before I let you go, I always play one game. Which one has to go, okay?
All right.
Now, you're a barber, so I'm pick four styles, okay? You tell me which one has to go, okay? All right. A high fade, a buzz cut, a tamper fade, and a bootsy fade. Which one has to go? I did all the there. Did I hit
Oh.
it? Did I hit
Yeah. Name them again. Name them again. And one has to go. Well, no. I'm gonna pick it. I'm gonna say the high and tight, the
okay.
high and tight.
Why? Why?
Because no. See, I shouldn't say. Well, the high and tight is normally it's a uniform, right? So it's a uniform for people that are in the service. It's a uniform for police officers, firemen, and those type of people. If I had to get rid of one, that probably would be it. I like the Bootsy Faye because I think it's creativity that goes along with that, right? So anything that has a creative edge, I'm down with.
What is your favorite cut to do?
Oh, wow. I do like fades, but I've been getting so everybody's been of lately growing their hair. If you'll probably notice it, right? So everybody's just kind of getting tapered in the side, and they kind of live leaving it natural on top.
Yeah,
So
that's how
I've
my
been,
son here is, yes.
So I've been working the shear. So I've been like the shear, any type of shear cut. My favorite haircut is the triangular bob, the one that comes down to the face. And I know it's more of a lady cut, but I love, reason is, has nothing to do with, okay, if we say clipper cuts, I would say probably the mid taper. I love the mid taper. But if we're talking about the art that comes with it,
yeah.
I like the triangular bob because of the technique. It's one of the hardest cuts to do. And I just like the art of being able to
kind of take the angle going down.
Angle that hair down, right. Yeah.
I like me a good bob. I haven't had courage to wear a bob yet, but I'm going to get there. The bob. Okay.
All right.
Did you have any students that had a little problem trying to get that angle when they cut the hair?
Of course, yeah. That's one of the things that I tell them, that they should always learn how to use their clippers, of course, right? Know how to use their razor. In case you're doing straight hair, you need to know how to use the blow dryer.
Yes.
But the shears are very important. And the reason is haircuts go in and out of style, right? So if you notice in the 60s and 70s, hair was longer. Well, we're starting to see that trend come back, right? People are wearing their hair longer now. So a lot of the guys that just concentrate on clipper cuts are going to end up getting left back in the and behind when the longer hairstyles start to come about. Yeah.
You're right about that. One last question I forgot about this question. I didn't ask you, but I got to ask you this.
Okay.
In your schooling, do you teach textured hair?
Of course. Okay. Yes. Listen, that's I start with textured hair, or what we call curly and extra curly hair, that coil, right? And the reason is because you have to pay a little bit extra attention to it. It needs a lot of moisture. And because of the coil, the moisture, to hold the moisture is harder, right? For it to hold moisture. So that's my number one.
You see, okay. And do you have a book that you use for the texture? Is it inside the book? Cosmetology book?
I do. So I jump around. I get information. I'm still learning, even being 35 years in the game. I'm still learning. I still go to classes. And what I love about this industry is new things are always invented, right? There's always new techniques. When I first started doing fades, we weren't doing the type of blurry fades that they're doing now, right? So I had to I had to go check myself. I was looking at these younger guys. I was like, they was coming out with these blur fades. And I was like, whoa, okay. Let me step back
Let me try again. So
I make sure that I stay educating myself, right? Even though I'm not in the shop as much, even though I'm not cutting as much, right? I try to make sure that I educate myself. Of lately, I've been kind of testing the waters on the political side of hair, right? Because they're trying to deregulate the hair industry across the country. They're just doing it state by state. Like in California, they changed it from 1,500 hours down to 1,000 hours. I was out at the Bronner Brothers in Georgia. And while Bronner Brothers was going on, they were trying to change the law to take away the, I think it's the blow dry, that you wouldn't need a license to blow dry people's hair or to wash.
How do you feel about that? Because the law is, I know I said I won't let you go, but I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Like people that's like braid hair and don't deal with chemicals, because I'm going to say on my end, okay, this is what I think. I think anybody that's braiding hair, they should have it where if you have to get any kind of certification, you get it in. Like sanitation, if you braid people's hair, and scalp education, but if you're a full cosmetologist dealing with chemicals, or if you want to deal with chemicals in general, like coloring or anything, you should get your full cosmetology license. I think in my mind it should be separate. If you're dealing with chemicals and everything, of course, full cosmetologist. But if you're just braiding, sanitation, and sanitation,
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with you, right? And that's kind of like a la carte in it, right? So, but I think that people need to have some type of education, because what's happening is we do see like some of the dope braids that are happening. Yes. But what's happening is the tension is a little bit too tight. So now we have young ladies that are running around here that are losing hair on the side of their head because they're braiding way too tight, right? So they do need to know about the hair structure, right? Why you don't want to have that much tension on the hair, and also about hair care. So I think I think we need to really continue to have education, even if it's just braids, even if we've been doing it all our lives and things like that. I think they do need certifications on that. It would be cool to go to school, maybe only a couple of months, so you can get that information about certain things that go along with that. But we do need to make sure that knowledge is there.
Gotcha. Well, I thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. At the end of this podcast, trust me, I'm going to leave all his links, okay? Can my audience or anybody that's listening to this podcast or random people just reach you? Where can they reach you at? I know I'm going to leave the link, but go ahead and tell them.
They can reach me at the Master Barber Hub, or it's masterbarberhub.com. You can leave a message on there. Can I give out a number?
You can give out whatever you want, because it's your brand. Okay.
All right. So you can hit me on the celly, right? You can hit me on the celly, 916-226-7099. Or you can go to the website. It's masterbarberhub.com. And then also M Exclusive is MXCLUSIVE.com. That's the product line. And yeah, give us a call. Give me a call. I got an ear for everybody. We could chop it up.
Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you.
Until next time, guys. Bye.